Good morning. a little bit of crud here. 6:31 a.m. now. I've dithered so long on Saturday. Yes, I'm out on a Saturday, 6:30 in the morning. I got up, I got moving. I had things to do, things I wanted to look at, things I couldn't wait. And 1651, that's, you know, just under 17. I'll take it. It was not a music set that lent itself to a sub 15 minute mile this morning. So, yeah, I just ambled along. I've been sort of following along on Twitter this morning. I'm getting a lot of friendly tweets this morning. So, yesterday I sort of hinted, actually, yesterday I said I was going to press the publish button. And when I got home, I did. It took me about another hour to finish the formatting. I've already had my first typo report. But, 24 hours later, the book is up, it's published, it has a sales rank. I don't have any also bots on it yet, but that'll be not too far away, I suspect. And, I'm pretty pleased. I'm very happy with the way the first day has gone. And I had forgotten how much fun it is to watch a new release. I really haven't watched the last releases that closely. I sort of put them up and get back to work. But I started figuring out. I looked at my calendar and realized that starting from 10 days ago, a week ago last Wednesday, I finished Greedock. Actually, I think I finished a week ago last Tuesday. So 11 days ago. 12 days ago, whatever it is. 7 and 11 days ago. I finished the Greedock story and tossed that over to Sigler. Within 2 days, I had Double Share edited and up. The edits incorporated and formatted and posted. Double Share sold a few, but it, you know, as a republish, I never really expected I would sell very many. Because it's what they call a mature property. That is, it's been out, it's had its initial run up, and now it's in sort of maintenance mode. But the Captain Share is the first book in the Share series that has never been published before. So, where Robin has had the opportunity to watch the sales develop, which she actually didn't do because she went away. Most weekends after she published the book, she left. Well, at least when she published Double Share, they went away for Mother's Day for the long weekend and left the errors hanging. But this is the first time that I've been able to watch one of the mainstream, my main series, actually performing. It's pretty much fun, I have to say. So I'm hoping to break into 1,000 later today. Probably will. There's a lot of people who did not realize that the book was out, even though I sent email to the listserv. If you didn't get email yesterday from me, and you're listening to this podcast, let me know, because we got to figure out what the hell's wrong here. Well, one of the problems was that I'm afraid that the Bluehost router problems that they were having yesterday might have had an effect. They shouldn't have, because the email messages should have stacked. I should look to see if any of them bounced. Nobody should have bounced yesterday, because I deleted all of the address not founds. I went through and corrected the email addresses for those who had email addresses that they needed changed or wrote to me to tell me that they were duplicated. So I went through the list and purged a bunch. It's still close to 1,900 people, which is nice. That's very cool. I'm really glad that there are that many people who are willing to subscribe to an email list. I put the post up this morning, so I was sure that the book was in and going, and it is. So I put the announcement post up and made a tweet this morning. So it's been a lot of fun. It's been an interesting 24 hours, 23 hours here. It's muggy this morning. It's not particularly warm. I think it's around 60. The thermometer in the back of the house said 64, but that seems almost impossible. Although I suppose if it's muggy and cool, it could feel cooler. But right now I'm kind of like, yeah. I didn't get a chance to get coffee. I haven't been up that long. I think I got up around 5:30. And I didn't get a chance to get coffee or breakfast, so I'm a little bit yawning, a little bit not quite with it. So bear with me. Dog days, people, this is pretty much what I'm like most days. It's not pretty, but... Sometimes I have fun. Sometimes we talk about stuff. So I'm working with a bunch of other writers, and we're talking about potentially doing a United States survey of residential households. To try to answer some of the questions that a lot of individual authors are trying to answer on their own. And of course their methods are not scientific. They're interesting from a survey perspective, but they're hardly scientific. So it's a... And the problem with that is particularly the case where when the sampling is off, you can't generalize. So the problem is that you can't really say, okay, I found that of the people who responded to my survey, 15% do this, 25% do that. And you really can only say of the people who responded to my survey. The problem, you can't even really say the people who are, if you send it out to your readers, you can't even say, in many cases, you can't even say the people who are my readers. Because you can only talk about the people who responded in a sort of kind of opt-in opportunity where you don't really know how many people were given the opportunity or where they were. So it's an interesting challenge. How do you do that? I don't know. Well, I do know, actually. It costs money. You buy a sample from one of the household data sampling houses, and you contact 1,000 or 2,000 or whatever it is, people, and you ask them the questions and you tally their remarks. And then at the end, you add it all up and divide by zero. I know that's a statistics joke. Monk Paul. So I'm talking to these guys, and we'll probably put up a Kickstarter if we can get the instrumentation constructed and validated, face validity, and perhaps some external validity. It would be difficult, I think, to get external validity because there's really nobody who's. Well, I suppose we could do some samples. We could do some test runs of the instrumentation. If I send it out, for example, to my 1,900 people on my list, I'd feel a lot better if I knew they were actually being delivered. I suppose we could put together a MailChimp. There's a list to MailChimp, I don't know. But get the instrumentation built, get it tested a little bit. See if we can get a relatively stable instrument. And then drop a couple of grand and have the instrument executed. I wonder if we could get Pew interested. Because those people understand how to do surveys. They understand the methodology, they understand sampling, they understand instrumentation. So my brain is moving, but my mouth isn't, so that's not very interesting for those of you who are listening along at home. Sorry about that. Or wherever you're listening. So, yeah, it's fun. It's interesting. It's not something I'm going to be spending great swaths of time on. This weekend, I expect I'm going to spend most of the weekend playing with social media, playing with family, doing the, I've just spent 10 days working nonstop. I need to take a little break before Monday. Monday, I don't know if I'm going to start reading Xiphiria's Call or if I'm going to start working up South Coast. So I'll have another book to put out next month. Give the editor another little chance to deal with 200,000 words of Ishmael Horatio Huang. My wife is insistent that I'm really losing out on most of my market because the books aren't available in paper, because everybody reads paper. Even while she's reading her Kindle, she keeps telling me that. The reality is that her parents read paper, and about every 3 months they say, "So, has Nate got another book yet?" So since her parents bother her about paper, she has to bother me about paper. So there's a certain established hierarchy here that must be observed and honored. I wonder how long it takes. I have to figure out how to get licks to put in custom chapter headings. Specifically, I have to figure out how to get licks to put in a custom chapter heading for a graphical element. How to get it to draw a line, how to get it to insert an image, that kind of stuff. Because I really want the internal layouts of the book, the paper, to match the internal layouts of the ebook, because I really like the internal layouts of the ebook. Assuming that they're formatted correctly, one of the things I did notice was that Kobo has a tendency not to honor the text indent attribute. It's not just on my book, it's on every Kobo book, as nearly as I can tell. So it's a bit of an issue. Given that they're all EPUBs, I'm not quite sure why the problem occurs. EPUB very clearly honors that CSS, the cascading style sheet that controls the indentation on the first line. But for some reason, the Kobo reader doesn't reflect it. At least not on my phone. I don't know. Maybe the full-blown Kobo reader does, but the app version of it certainly doesn't. But again, it's not just on my book. I think it's on every book I've seen on Kobo. Maybe I should investigate that a little more. No, I do know what I've got one thing I have to do, and that's to get Captain Share over onto Kobo and Nook. Last time I looked, Kobo had all four of the first books, so I can put the fifth book up. Barnes & Noble had not yet cleared Double Share. It's like, oh, come on, people. How long does this take? So maybe if they've cleared Double Share this morning, I'll be able to put Captain Share up. If I get it loaded today, it should be up by Monday, so those people will also be able to play along at home. Well, that was a fast 2 miles. No, not really. It was like 18 minutes, 19 minutes since I turned the recorder on, so. Yeah, 18 and a quarter. I knew it wasn't going to be a record. It's okay. Don't need a record today. Probably going to have to mow the lawn today, just judging from what I'm walking through here. So I'll get a little extra exercise later in the morning. But for now, I'm at the back gate, literally at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.